Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Why not? Why not?
If you can, I can edit it out. Don't worry about
Yeah.
it.
I think we're good. I think we're good. Let me just find this for you. I'm
Fair
sharing the
enough.
screen.
Well, welcome to this this very exciting episode, because we are all excited about the show tonight. Besides for that, though, I want to say the reason I'm late: Windows sucks.
Always does.
They keep trying to update my drivers for my video card, and it keeps like fucking almost bricking my PC because I get loaded into the BIOS every load, and it's like, hey, this driver is not compatible. So I had to revert to an old driver, and then I have to like stop it and then use AMD to update. It's a pain in the ass every single time. I can't I, every time I turn off Windows updates for my video card, like something happens and it turns everything back
Something
on.
breaks.
Yeah.
Fucking knew it. You have to send me a screenshot. I'm curious how
I'll
what
show
the
you,
issue
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Next
First
time
thing
it happens, I'll let
first.
you know.
First things first.
Okay, what oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
Like someone who's been playing four recently. Oh my God.
The toilet seat really stunned me.
Jesus Christ.
My dad.
Leon Kennedy riding a toilet piano. You know, this game is actually incredible. I don't know if you played
it
yet.
It really is. I got it for free, but I got a 5080,
oh,
so I got
your card,
it for
yeah.
free.
It's fucking incredible. Like, I love it.
But like,
oh my God,
me in the morning.
Yeah,
Victor's so adorable. He's the ultimate wife there.
Jesus. All right, let's not get copyright and struck.
All right, you're right. Time to stop.
But that's amazing.
Time to stop. I know.
I love it. Yeah, no, that is great. After Requiem was so good, I actually went back and started replaying all of them. I just finished four before we started.
There's like so many YouTube shorts about Ada and Leon, like fanfic. I'm like,
dude, I don't think it's Ada.
You don't think so?
Well, I know you probably know like the twist. Like at the end of the game, he takes off his glove and he has a wedding ring.
Yeah.
But
I
like
I'm Sherry.
It's not Sherry. Don't even give me that. It's I'm
sorry. I could help.
No, it's okay. I am convinced it's Claire.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Ada,
he needs to continue the Renfield bloodline.
Oh yeah. Well, because like. Claire, because you know, the symbol on his gun on Requiem is the eagle that Claire wore on her leather jacket, too.
Oh, I got you.
And it's on her motorcycle. And not to mention that, like, Ada fucking, like, is using the shit out of him. I don't think Leon's that dumb. 90% of the interaction, while there might be some like and, you know, some lust, I don't think she actually, like, loves him. I do not think it's fucking Ada, and God only help me if it's fucking Sherry.
Don't wait till they're 18, Kennedy.
Well, I mean, Sherry's on the comms with him the entire game, and like, wouldn't it sound different if they were married? Like, I don't think it's Sherry at all.
No, I wasn't trying to war game that out of my head. But
okay, fair.
I was like, yeah, sure.
And we have maybe it's Ashley. We haven't heard from Ashley.
Yeah, we haven't heard
since
from Ashley
four.
That's Ash smash.
But yeah, no God,
yeah,
I know that.
I,
I know there's a lot of fanfic out there, but I don't. You know, it might not even be confirmed in the DLC. We're getting DLC.
Okay,
but
okay.
We don't even know what's going to happen. I know the internet's asking, so we'll see. It could just be a fake out. It could be absolutely no one. It could be someone completely different.
Fake out. I don't know.
It would be hilarious.
Like 55 in this?
49.
Okay.
Yeah. Because which I love it because like Resident Evil is one of the only franchises that I think in recent where the characters age like with us. Right, because like 99, when the Raccoon City incident happened, that's when the game took place. right when the game came out, and then like since then they've like gotten older throughout the games, which I think is awesome. Although it does leave me like, what are they going to do for, you know, like Leon was younger than Chris and Jill. So Jill's 55, Chris is like 58, something like that. So do you think they're even going to be in the, like another game? Like, what are they going to do? They're running out, and like Leon's their golden boy. So what are they going to, you know?
I mean, to be fair, when they did seven, that was whole, that was a whole, Ethan was a whole new,
yes,
whole new characters.
And that worked.
Yeah. And you know, Chris was there, which is fine. Chris,
yeah, Chris showed up.
Chris can make a switch in. I don't know how many more Resident Evil games do you think they possibly can come up with?
I don't know. I think
unless you get the spinoffs like with Umbrella, conspiracies and dumb shit like that.
The biggest issue I have, Steve, and this is like where I'm struggling, is we're in a golden era of Resident Evil.
We are.
Think about it. We're getting a remake of one,
yes.
Code Veronica.
Yes.
And like that's all we have, you know, obviously we know about. They're getting better and faster at this. They're doing fucking voodoo with Resident or the Reach engine, which is totally the RE. Like, anyway, let's not get into just the Resident Evil engine.
I disagree with the Resident Evil 3 was good, though. I think the OG Resident Evil 3.
I agree, but it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. I just don't think it did the...
Did the original justice. Completely agree. Yeah. But 2 makes up for it.
Yes.
2 and the 4 remake is one of the best things ever. Like, so, you know, we're in a golden age of Resident Evil. And Requiem fucking rules.
Yeah.
I agree. They've been on the uptick since 6. And, you know, we're only getting more. So, like, plus, like, again... The fact that thing, have you seen that thing run on Steam Deck and Switch? Like,
it's crazy.
What voodoo are they doing with Reach? Like,
no.
I, they are so good with the RE engine. They can, like, and they're pumping them out. Like, while game studios are taking a decade to do a new entry in a series, we've had, like, so many games from Resident Evil.
Yeah.
So why would you
stop? DS.
I know. So why would they stop? Like, and I don't think they should. Like, it works, and it's in a time where everyone's chasing live service. Capcom is just hitting it out of the park. So I do hope we get more stories. I don't know what they're gonna do, but we'll see. Maybe they do a new protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see. I don't know. Time will tell. I'm sure there's more hidden, you know, ancient viruses and funguses or whatever. Parasites. I mean,
there's always some new parasite, some plaga out there.
Yeah, right. But anyway, yeah. Requiem rules, and I love Resident Evil, so I'll leave it there.
Fucking love.
Talk about Windows. Here's the one thing that I wanted to get on my soapbox about. More and more, I am seeing at my company, at my fiance's company, at a lot of tech, like everyone on LinkedIn, I think, you know, it's AI, and that's all they're fucking talking about. And what really bothered me is that one of the people at my fiance's office shared a post about mourning, how devs are like, these are the 5 stages of grief before you come to love AI. Like, you're literally going through depression, and then you have to accept it and embrace it. We should fight this thing kicking and screaming. And besides the data gathering and all of that and the environment, we're going to set all that aside. I really think the biggest thing that is harmful about AI, and I've seen it in our friends, in you know, my colleagues, is cognitive decline.
Right.
Have you seen this?
I've seen it.
We are depending upon AI for fucking everything.
And
I've had friends who like asked AI to help plan their fucking, like, how should I clean my house today?
Right. But it's like no critical thought goes. Nobody checks it to be like, is this potentially right? Is this potentially wrong?
And
just accept it.
Let's you know, go past the fact that AI doesn't have intelligence.
Right.
It's an algorithm that's doing average.
It'll tell you exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll also engage you to spend more tokens. So it'll always prompt you and give answers that require you know, like follow-ups. Like it's designed that way. And I really think I'm starting to believe wholeheartedly that it's done this way on purpose. Because if we, so we've already talked about on this show, I don't know if it was on the show or not, but AI is hemorrhaging money completely, right? Like no AI company is making money. Venture capitalists are propping it up.
And they are over leveraged on data centers that
100%.
Yeah.
They are OpenAI is losing billions. And the only reason is because they're pumping more money into it because they think it's a good investment. And, you know, eventually that will stop. Here's the thing that I don't think people are realizing and need to kind of think about. There will come a time when AI needs to make money. They're charging you $20 a month right now to get you hooked, to get you like to get the data and the things to build the models. And not only that, to get you addicted or dependent upon it. And I have been blown away with the cognitive decline already. And this is way worse than social media, way worse than anything else. And I have a sneaking suspicion that these companies are doing it on purpose to literally like make us dependent upon it because so we can't critically think anymore. And then they can charge us $200 a month for it because we'll have no choice. And that scares the shit out of me. And before I hear all the comments saying, oh, you know, there's no way companies would do that. First of all, they would. Second of all, let's go back in time and do an example of a company that's acting just as terribly. Like Nestle.
That's a shit company.
Yeah. And when Mickey says it's a shit company, you know it's true.
That's right.
And
their slave labor of Oompa Loompas is not nearly strong enough to support their demand. It's a bad investment.
In the 1980s, Nestle sent reps dressed as nurses to the poorest parts of Africa to hand out baby formula. And they gave them just enough to biologically, you know, like where they stop producing milk because, you know, they stop, they use the formula because they people dressed as nurses told them this is better. So they had no choice but to rely on this. What they didn't say was that, you know, you can't mix it. Well, they did say it is that you can't mix it with dirty water, which is all over Africa, because that'll kill the baby. And, you know, most of the people in Africa are illiterate, couldn't read. 10 million kids died because Nestle wanted to sell more formula. So you tell me that that is a company that actually exists and still exists to this day and, you know, kind of gets away with whatever the fuck. They tried to argue that water wasn't a universal right. And then you tell me that AI companies are not purposely trying to put us all into cognitive decline, to make us dependent on it so they can charge us $200 or $300, which is the only way they'll make money. Sorry, Sean, you missed half this conversation, but like I'm getting so fed up at work with like everyone extolling the virtues of AI and me getting so upset like that people are using it for inane tasks. I gave Steve the example that I had a friend who literally had used AI to say, how do I clean my house today? And that scared me. Because,
I mean,
go ahead.
I have been using, well, I've been playing Claude and ChatGPT off each other recently, mm-hmm. but I will say with some good effect of coming up with a plan and a countdown and everything I need to do in the roughly 17 or 18 days before I move.
That's fair.
So that's been helpful.
I think you can use AI. I don't think there's a problem with using a model to help you make life easier.
Yeah.
What I don't think
that's how I think of it. Like I don't, it's not a replacement for humans.
But a lot that's of silly. But it is. It's well, not a replacement for humans. It's a replacement for humans thinking. Mm-hmm. Another example is I had, you know, without giving names, person I'm close to, their boss literally used AI on how to interact with a person. Like, hey, because they were worried because their boss got mad at them And they were like, they asked AI, they asked Claude, why was my boss mad at here? Here's all I said. And Claude told them, oh, it's because you use these two words. Instead of talking to your boss or learning or thinking critically, they relied on AI to, and that scares the ever-loving shit out of me.
Did Claude correctly diagnose that individual with Asperger's?
Nope.
Too bad.
You know, I knew Asperger. He worked for that Hitler guy.
Oh, is he under Goebbels, Goering? Like, he was, like, you know...
In the yeah, he didn't really like making eye contact. It was really frustrating.
All right, I'm sorry. No manners. I'll get off my horse. I just needed to get that off my chest. Thank you for giving me this.
You have horse?
You know, I not anymore.
Why would you get off that? You're paying good money.
Not anymore. I have someone...
Oh, boy.
I found someone who ended up costing me more money. But, you know, we'll see.
I don't think we're going to engage on that one because that seems like a slippery slope.
That's a very slippery slope. I'm just befuddled today. How's everybody else doing? How's everyone doing this fine evening? Sean, how about you?
Sleepy.
Oh, really?
Long day? Yeah, no, we're just, well, actually I did have a long day. I have this case that's going to probably go to trial next month, but I've done two expert depositions in the past like 5 days, my experts, but because neither one can testify at trial, they're trial depositions, so basically to be played in court.
Okay.
And opposing counsel, who I was never a big fan of, today, not that he got under my skin, but I will say I'm so like not used to the feeling of like actually being angry, actually being angry.
Really?
And I got so frustrated and angry. But then, like, at the same time, it was kind of epic because I was right. And so...
Always a good thing.
It's the first time in a deposition I've ever instructed my witness not to answer a question and then proceeded to dress down opposing counsel and say, if you do this again, I'm calling the judge and we're stopping this deposition.
Wow.
That's wow. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was a wonderful power trip for me. I think they're at the phase of their case where they've tried to pound the law and pound the facts and they realize they're really fucked. And so they're just pounding the table now and asking really stupid, weird questions.
Wow.
Which is what happened. So that was cool. yeah.
So, other than that.
Okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
No, I was just going to say, it wasn't really a question. It was just like kind of comment. So it's like, it was a long day, but not necessarily a bad one.
No, not a bad one. I didn't get enough sleep last night, so that probably would have made it a little easier, but whatever.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Is it weird? That's actually a really interesting point. So, like, I've been on Adderall for, like, 6 years now. Maybe even more. Damn. I finally told my doctor, like, 2 months ago that, I think it's losing its potency, right? Like, I think I'm becoming, resistant to it. And I'm on 20. So like 30 is a very high dose. So my doctor was like, let's make sure that it's that, because I also know you don't sleep very well. Like, I've never slept
right.
Well. So like, let's make sure you fix your sleep schedule before we even like think about 30, because that's putting your heart through the ringer. So they kept giving me more and more powerful sleeping pills.
Oh God.
Yeah. Like, cause nothing seems to work. They started me on like Tradizone and now I'm up to like, Lunestra.
Oh, so are you on Trazodone? You were on Trazodone?
I was on Trazodone. It did nothing.
Yeah, I've taken that before too. It didn't really help me. I mean, I don't really have sleep issues when I do get to sleep, but I have like, I don't know. You probably know the feeling of like you've had a really crazy, busy, stressful day, and you've taken your full dose of Adderall, perhaps a smidge more, because you'd had to get across some sort of finish line.
Yep.
And your body is shot, but your brain is just like going.
Yep.
And you can't fall asleep.
Yep. Staring at the ceiling.
The Tradizone didn't help me with that either.
Okay.
Honestly.
Steve, you were going to jump in real quick.
No, I was going to say my dog was on trazodone with like a, for like 50, you know, 100 milligrams, and they she was like in space.
I wish.
She was like, whoa.
I am scared that Lunestra doesn't work on me.
Mm.
Like, we went past Ambien and to got to Lunestra, and like, I don't know what's left. I don't want to do like, I don't want to be like a Michael Jackson, do propofol. Like,
smoke yourself.
Yeah, right.
See, I always thought that was the weirdest sounding drug, because to me it always sounded like a hair loss drug you had to take through your butt. I can't explain that, but
that's very fair.
I think that's what it might actually have been created for, in my opinion.
Interesting. That's pretty funny. But yeah, that's just kind of like, it was very weird that I like, what do I go from here? You know, I guess I'll try it a few more days. It's brand new. I took one last night and I still was up for like 2 hours. What?
Oh, so you were up for 2 hours.
I took it because they say take it right before bed. And like, usually based on like the instructions and everything I've heard is you can do stuff to like, and then just go to sleep when you're tired.
Okay.
But that never happened.
Or have you tried,
go ahead.
Have you tried taking like the magnesium ashwagandha zinc supplements like about 2 hours before bedtime?
Yes, but I can't do those supplements because I'm on Wellbutrin. And they all interact.
Sucks.
Yep.
The
only supplement I'm allowed to take is melatonin. And then my doctor said it, because that was working for a while. But then my doctor's like, yeah, if you do that, you can like, it lead to congestive heart failure, which I didn't know. So it's like, I can't win.
No, you can't. You can't win there.
And I definitely don't want to be off Wellbutrin right now.
Did you try like just like no screens for a half hour before going to sleep?
Yep. I read. I've been doing a lot of reading lately. But maybe I should find more boring books.
You should try masturbating furiously.
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you beat it wrong.
And like, get
you
up and run around. Really use the space.
Yeah. Go wall to wall.
All right. I'll give that a shot tonight, see what happens.
I was playing Spider-Man the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, and if your Adderall is not working, I got a great drug for you.
Ludes do the opposite.
You don't need a prescription for it. In fact, they won't give it to you.
Oh, really? What is it?
It's cocaine.
You know, yeah. I've been on Zepbound for a while to get rid of my heart problems. And it's helping. So I don't know if cocaine is probably the best thing for me right now.
You know, Mr. Disney told me I didn't have a heart, so I think I'm good.
Oh, they snort away. Should just start freebasing at this point.
I was around in the 80s. I know what's up.
Steve, what about you? How have you been sleeping? How have you been doing?
I've been sleeping. I've been sleeping.
I've been sleeping. You son of a bitch.
I'm ready to flex on you all.
Oh, fuck.
I did not sleep most of last night, though. I had a dog whose tail has been amputated, so she's been recovering. So she just has a nub.
I'm so sorry.
This is my last week.
How's it feel?
Profession. It's been good. I've been doing a lot of. Sorry, I can't make time for you, counselor. I'm very busy right now. So I'm talking. I'll be like talking to you later. I've been copying and pasting things and just been like setting my out of office on, saying see you later, talk to you later. So it's kind of like a limbo week for me.
Oof. So what are you transitioning to, Steve?
I'm going back to more consulting. But more money.
Vague, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, more consulting, more money. But I am going to do more more companies. I don't know how else to say it. Managing more people. But I'll tell you more over chat.
Oh, snap.
Can't let them know. Leave everybody else in suspense.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
I understand there's some things that can't go on air.
Yeah.
But yeah, in other news, my mom broke her hip.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So are you down there now?
No. So she's an inpatient for the next till about the 16th. She decided like she was like, I'm not ready to go home. She has the money. She was just like, I'm going to stay and do inpatient and like just start my physical therapy. because we were supposed to go to UK in May. And now she's like, can't put weight on her hip for like 2 months.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Which, you know, ironically enough, I think we can trace all of this back to Gwen Stefani. So my mom breaking her hip is Gwen Stefani's fault.
Explain.
Well, have you heard the theory that Trump's presidency is all Gwen Stefani's fault?
I've heard allusions to that.
Oh. Fair. It's not, you know, it's not a direct thing, but it just makes me laugh that this is the way it works. So at the time The Apprentice was at its peak.
Oh my God. Okay.
Another show called, I guess, what is it? America's Next Got, like some, one of those talent shows. America's, I forget, with Gwen Stefani. America's Got Talent. Gwen Stefani was one of the hosts. Trump found out
it's true
that Gwen Stefani was getting paid more than him.
Oh, Jesus. So
he really, like, legitimately, like, apparently this is all true. He was like, oh, I need to increase my my like exposure, get my name out there more so I get paid more. And so he decided to, that's when he did the whole, you know, down the escalator, I'm going to run for president thing. And, you know, just do it for 3 months and then go start my own TV network.
Right.
And then, you know, and then, everything else I happened.
Won. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a theory that it's all Gwen Stefani's fault. Add to that that my mom fell on the way back from the No Kings rally.
That's an important detail. Yeah.
Yes. So Gwen Stefani caused my mom to break her hip, which I told her and she laughed.
Isn't she kind of one of them now too anyways?
Yes. Yeah. 100, mm-hmm. Like she went like total trad wife.
Yeah, that's a weird.
That's so, yeah. I think like Bradley dying really fucked her up.
That does do it.
I honestly like, and even Sublime is now apparently like right wing.
But didn't anyway, they just release a new album?
I'm gonna let you guys in on a secret. Yeah. Gen X kind of sucks.
Yeah.
No.
Speaking of theories, it's those aging, you know, people who are actually like the cause of the Tea Party.
Yep.
Hmm.
The theory is that like they all aged out and they're still against government. They just changed sides.
The Tea Party aged out and became.
Well, no, the hippies in the 60s who were anti-government and anti-Vietnam got older, still hated the government, but this time the other side was the enemy.
They also are the reason why we had bigger and bigger cars and SUVs became so prevalent, pickup trucks became so prevalent.
Yeah.
Because they loved their goddamn buses and they decided to go with something else. And that's part of the reason why our environment's not great.
Goddamn.
Fucking dude.
Hippies ruin everything.
Really fucking do. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, I like, it's kind of cathartic when you watch like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Leonardo DiCaprio's going fucking hippies. Like, yeah. No, you're right, bro.
So all that being said, my mom is going to, I'm going down, after the 16th, I'll be down there for 2 months helping her out. She says I should still go to the UK because she already paid for it. So like, I kind of feel bad, but like, I probably should go, right?
Yeah.
Man, if I wasn't moving and if I didn't have trial and I didn't have a child and I didn't have a girlfriend, I would 100% be your plus one to that. Cause that sounds nice. Please.
Happy. The hotel and flights are paid for.
Damn it. That sounds like a nice time.
Yeah. But yeah, so that'll be my future. So you'll see me podcasting from Raleigh for a little while. But you know, she was there for me my entire life. Like, that's the parent I would do anything for.
Well, being a member of the Dead Parent Club myself.
Yeah.
I can tell you, you can't really do anything else for the other one. So even if you wanted to.
Fair. That's fair.
I'd love to do stuff for my mom. That'd be great. But people would look at me like I was batshit insane. Because they're like, bro, it's been a while. I'm like, yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Fair, fair, fair. All right. We should get t-shirts. There's like a lot of my friends now. Well, no, it's fine. Well, because like there are certain people in my friend group
I thought you were saying there are certain milestones. Like,
there are certain people in my friend group, including, like, I know my father would have laughed at it if we all had dead dad or, you know, dead parent club shirts. My dad would have found that hilarious. Like, you know, my friends, like, I don't know, you guys, Liam, Billy. I know Billy would hate it.
Oh, he Billy lost a parent?
Yeah, his dad, which sucks.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, that was a rough one. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, the t-shirts would be fun. We're at that age now. I have a terrible sense of humor. All right.
Well, I mean, to be honest, as Not So New Girl was leaving my house this morning, I don't even know how we got on the topic exactly, but I was like, what do you think the over-under? My dad is turning. I haven't talked to my dad since before Joe Biden was elected in 2020, but presuming he's still walking the face of the earth, which I have to presume, sure. He will be turning 79 in early August.
Oh, wow.
So he's already kind of beaten the spread in terms of life expectancy for someone of his age. So, I have two over-unders that I want to figure out. How many more years? And then over-under on whether it will be days, weeks, months before I find out that it happened.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the next awesome. One. Yeah.
I fucking love that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. That being said, we have a really exciting show. This is the first time I've been excited for an episode. Well, not I'm always excited. Excited, like, knowing what's coming and being like, this is going to be amazing. Or at least I hope. I have high expectations. Tonight we're watching Maul, the new show from the Filoni side of the Lucasverse. You know,
I bought him.
Well, he's better than Kathleen Kennedy, so at least you did something right. You got rid of her and put Filoni in this place.
He feels like he might be a narc, but so far so good.
Just keep it, you know, keep it on the DL. We don't know what's under that cowboy hat.
I know.
It's not a wire. We're good.
No wires on that man. I appreciate that. See, I never trust Ms. Kennedy about that. And that's why I've been feeding her Mr. Disney's towels.
How many can you have left at this point? I thought you've been chewing on them too. Oh, that's his fingers.
No, I have fingers. I go for the fingers.
Okay, all right. But you only get 10 shots. I got standards,
man. I'm a mouse, not a rat.
Okay, all right. Understood. Apologies. But yeah, I'm super excited about this. We got, you know, some cool stuff going on. We'll talk more about it, obviously, after the show. Sean, what are your thoughts as someone who, you know, is deeply entrenched in the Star Wars as I am? You know, and Clone Wars was such a, like, big part of my life. What are your thoughts?
I just, like... Okay, so Bad Batch wasn't like I didn't love Bad Batch. I enjoyed it. But it wasn't, and like I've said a million times before, my particular brand of Star Wars involves lightsabers and the Force actually being used and not just a way to say like aloha. Yeah. So I like that, just having that on TV. Like when they did Tales of the Jedi, I was hyped for that. Like, I really enjoyed that. Like, last season of Clone Wars that Disney did was fantastic. I really enjoyed Rebels far more than I ever thought I would when I first heard about it. And I didn't watch it for years and years and years. And,
Grand Admiral Thrawn, still best villain.
Sorry. Yeah. But like, I just think that, they have the right team doing this. And that goes to Filoni, that goes to like all the art people, music people, and certainly I think if he's not 1A, he's 1B with Filoni, who's Sam Witwer.
Yeah.
Who really seems to understand the character of Maul, really seems to care about, obviously cares about Star Wars beyond that in a massive way. And kind of like I was saying last week when we were talking about the Stephen Colbert Lord of the Rings stuff, those are the kind of people that if you're a fan of a franchise, you want them involved because they're talented, they care, they have knowledge, And they're going to advocate for that. And so I have a lot of faith in the situation that they've kind of set up.
What do you think about Mando and Grogu? It's in that same vein, because I've been very curious about that, because like I am excited. I hope, you know, again, I just love Thrawn, but like there were parts of Ahsoka that I think were a little bit weird. I didn't hate it, obviously.
Well,
but...
you know, I liked Ahsoka far more than I liked certainly the third season of Mandalorian.
And fair. That's fair.
Most of the Book of Boba Fett, and perhaps even bits of the second season of Mandalorian. But like again, like that's the type of story, that's the type of character that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see where they go with the Ahsoka story. I'm a little less into the Mandalorian and Grogu, and I kind of feel like not that they should have truly gotten away from having Grogu be a character, a featured character in that series, and I guess the movie now, but it just feels like I don't quite know what they're going for with it, and I don't really know where it's going, which is can be a good thing, as I've discovered with Star Wars, but not always.
I mean, well, you're the one who agreed. Like we've talked about this, right? Like we thought. I know we discussed it with someone that we thought that like Grogu should have been like given to Luke, and that should have been the end of that arc, and the Mandalorian should have done something else.
And you could always bring it back later. I mean, like, look, Grogu already survived the Purge Part 1. He could probably survive the Purge Part 2. So you don't have to worry. You could always pull him out. I mean, he's going to live to be 900 years old. So
exactly. There's so many things you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels a little cutesy. And I'm hoping that it's almost like a hedge against something like Maul, where they're targeting an older audience. Mandalorian Grogu feels like a popcorn flick you take your family to, whereas Maul is more of a, I don't want to say edgelord in like the bad kind of way. Whatever like a positive edgelord is, I don't know. You know. But it's got some intensity to it, and it's got, you know, some cool shit happening, and it's lightsabers and fucking Maul being a lunatic that, you know, that's the other thing, because Max and I were talking about it. He's like, is Maul going to be a good guy now? I'm like, no.
Absolutely not.
No. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And he hates the Empire for his own reasons, and have at it, buddy. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's aligned with, or like at least had his interest aligned with Ahsoka, with Ezra, with like a lot of people. And
I would say at the end he had his aligned with Kenobi and Luke, you know, in a way, because he wanted to be avenged, because he knew his life was ruined because of everything that Palpatine put him through. So
yeah, absolutely. But one more thing on Witter, Witwer. Did you see that interview he was doing a couple weeks back when he was talking with Filoni about like lines in Clone Wars? And I think Anakin was saying to Padme, he's like, oh man, I wish you'd met my mother. And then Witwer was like, he did. And he was, and Filoni's like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, they had dinner together.
And that Have you watched the movies?
And that's like the first time Filoni was ever embarrassed. And I think that's one of my favorite stories ever. Which is why I think he is like the second at, you know, but.
Yeah, no, I like that story a lot too. And I mean, I've liked Witwer forever. Witwer shows up on season 8 of Smallville, which he ends up, it's spoiler alert, but it's now been since like 2008 that aired, I think, 2009. He's like a very, very small, soft version of Doomsday, which is like not great. But even with that, I really liked him. I found his like acting to be good. I found him to be interesting. He plays dark super well. And that goes like without even addressing the Force Unleashed games, which are phenomenal. So
I was just going to bring those up. Yeah. Cause I know you're not a big video game guy, but like,
I love those games.
Yeah.
Absolutely love them. And Max still has me play the Force Unleashed. We got it on his Switch. So he's like, you play this for me now. And he like watches it. Like I'm like, he's watching another movie. I'm like, all right, yeah, sure. It's fun.
It's that good. Yeah, it is fantastic. And it's not canon, but it's great.
It is in my book.
Steve, I know you're not as, you know, in this club as Sean and I, but what are your thoughts on Maul, so Clone Wars overall, like what the direction of Star Wars, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think Clone Wars is pretty awesome. I got a little bit into some, like one or two of the Star Wars shows, but
fair.
I think we got oversaturated with the Star Wars shows in the last few years.
Agreed. 100% agree.
I thought Boba Fett was like a Book of Boba Fett kind of went off the rails a little bit. It was a little too on the nose. Jumped the shark.
You didn't like Boba Fett, civic planner, city manager.
City manager.
And what was it? The pointless, the gift that was heard around the world of like the pointless spin before the shot in the last episode.
So many questions. I don't know where the writing went on that. There's just so many questions. The same with, I actually thought Mandalorian had a really good few seasons, and I thought that was a clever idea for a show. And then you had shows like The Acolyte, and you're just like, why? Why is this in the list?
Yeah, why'd they have to burn Plagueis on that? That's what killed me. I forget what Plagueis, the actual Acolyte's name was. He was awesome. Like, you know, why'd you have to burn that on that? You know?
Such a waste.
Yeah. And honestly, I felt like they wasted Thrall. So. That's a personal gripe for me.
We'll see where it goes. I'm open minded about it enough to see where that goes. But yeah, I mean, you never know.
Yep.
Fair. All right.
What about you, Matt? You haven't really talked.
I was trying to get involved in the conversation. Yeah, Clone Wars was like so important to me growing up. I loved Star Wars since, you know. Like that cartoon, I loved Rebels when it was on. I was team, you know, Filoni from the beginning, and I people hate on the sequels, and I'm one of the people who hated on the prequels when they came out first, and you know, but I hate on the sequels, but it's all Star Wars, and the worst piece of Star Wars media. A, I'm still gonna watch.
Yeah.
And be like, it's still, I'm going to enjoy it at some level. You know, there is absolutely a pecking order of things I've enjoyed the most. And Clone Wars happens to be up there. I, you know, have gotten into fights with, I don't know, like, I believe the last three episodes of season 7 is better. Like it should have been episode 3. It was so good. The fall of Mandalore and the whole thing, you know, like you seeing it from the other side.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I loved it.
I don't know. I think there are some stories that are better told on television, though. And I think that
okay, fair,
kind of gave it the time and the space to do that justice in a way that you couldn't have got it in the movies. Kind of in the same way that people talk about Hayden Christensen's Anakin and Matt Lanter's Anakin. Mm-hmm. And then like how Matt Lanter had like all this character development. It's like, well, he had 7 seasons to do that, whereas Hayden Christensen had like a little more than a year or two to go from Attack of the Clones to Darth Vader.
And yeah,
he did. I mean, honestly, like I've always loved his performance. I get the criticism, but I've also learned how to stop like just bite my tongue when people start saying it, because I'm like, you don't care enough about this for you to hear what I'm about to tell you, so it doesn't matter anyways. But he's a gem, and you don't deserve him.
Hayden Christensen is a gem. I fully blame Lucas for his terrible directing. Well, his dialogue too didn't help. But like those two things, I think, because Hayden Christensen can shine when he's in. Like I've seen other movies, and he's incredible. So I don't blame him. And yes, I'm more in the camp that I don't like his performance in those movies. But I do not think it's his fault.
No.
And it's the same thing with like you made like, you know, she's not the best actress, but I love Natalie Portman. And like, you know, I love a lot of the people in that movie, and they didn't give their greatest performances.
I mean, Natalie Portman didn't get a ton of work with in Revenge of the Sith. Like, let's be real. Like, she had a lot, way more to do in the first two prequels.
That is very, very fair.
Which kind of sucks. Like that's the one thing about Revenge of the Sith that to me, when I think about it, kind of sticks out. It's like you had this like really strong character, and I mean, I get that she's pregnant. I get like she's like more limited. I don't want to say limited in that way because I feel like that's not even fair. But like, she's got to stay hidden more, because if she's out in public and people are like, oh, like, why are you pregnant? And then it's like, okay, well, shit's going to hit the fan then.
Yeah. Was it ever canon? Because I was trying to, oh, sorry, go. I'll let you finish
your thought. No, you go.
Was it ever canon that she died of a broken heart? Because I was thinking back to like all of my, like, you know, extended universe and all the things I read when I was a kid. And I cannot for the life of me remember, like, I know she died during childbirth, but that's always where they left it, right? Like, there's so many ways they could have gone with that. Like,
you mean before 3? Like, yeah. Before Revenge of the Sith came out?
Yes.
Well, was there ever before Revenge of the Sith came out, the story was that she lived, the twins' mother lived long enough that Leia actually had a memory of her, and it wasn't like a weird, like, force, like, glitchy forced, memory, yeah. Or
I don't remember her ever, like, I thought it was always she died in childbirth, and I could be absolutely wrong. I do remember mm-hmm. that scene from Return of the Jedi, but
yeah, and there was like some weird thing where it was like, well, one, I think Anakin's character originally was supposed to be a bit older, like not quite as old as like Obi-Wan, but like,
yeah,
old enough that when you see him see the mask come off in Return of the Jedi, that you're not like shocked.
Yes.
Like, oh, there's an old man in here. And not a, you know, 46-year-old guy who shouldn't look like that. I think it was like she, like, it was basically like she and Ben split up the kids. Ben took Luke to Tatooine, and then Padme, or whatever her name was supposed to be originally, went into hiding with Leia, probably on Alderaan, probably with the Organas, and then like eventually like died not long after that. But it was long enough that Leia had an actual memory of her.
Interesting. Okay. Fair enough. When they change it, though, there's so many things, like, it still bothers me to this day. Like, it's not unobtainium level of, like, living in my head rent-free, but there's so many legitimate reasons why she could have died. Like, just make her succumb to the wounds from being choked.
So, my headcanon mm-hmm. is that Palpatine did an imperfect kind of Sith something ritual that pulled her life force out and gave it to Vader.
All right.
That's no, how I'm makes, trying to think about it. Because, like, fair. It's like, I do love the switcheroo of, like, he gets Anakin to turn and he's like, yeah, I actually don't know what my master knew. And I killed him. So we can figure it out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But clearly Palpatine in the sequels will show you, you know, to my chagrin to an extent, Palpatine mm-hmm. clearly knew some shit. Like, he was able to keep his essence going for quite a while.
Yeah.
Even without a real body. So,
I mean, that was like what he stole from Plagueis, right? Or is that not canon either anymore? No, Plagueis isn't canon now because they showed him at the end of the Acolyte. So I don't know if.
I'm pretty sure he's canon, man. Sure. They just have to, they can make a few tweaks to that story from that book, and they can make that a series. And I would.
Yeah,
love that. Agreed. That's such a good book. I love that book.
Just give us Revan, you cowards. You've teased it so many times. Favorite Jedi.
Yeah, we've only got 300 more years of Keanu Reeves looking like he's 35. So, like, can we do this, listen, please?
I loved Revan before Keanu Reeves was going to play him. And, like, it's just a cool idea to have someone who, like, went back and forth and, like, you know, actually learned their lesson. And then was still not, like, enough of the Force. He actually got married. He was like, no, there's some lessons. Like, the Jedi are right, but they're not, like, completely right.
Also, why the fuck does Ki-Adi-Mundi get to have, like, a harem?
Yeah, that was weird.
Because he's, like, I'm pretty sure that Ki-Adi-Mundi's on the Epstein list. Like, let's be real. There's something wrong about that guy. He gives me, like...
He's on the island.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm like Bill Cosby, like, why is it getting dark after one sip of this drink that you gave me, and why are you making the pudding pop face, and you know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
He had the best loads.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
He
He never got me, though. I always just stole from him.
Steve, I'm sorry. Yeah. We've been talking a lot. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm actually really curious to see how this goes. I'm really excited to see an episode. I like Darth Maul. I think he's the molliest guy out there. So,
I second. Sean, any other final thoughts before we go to the episode?
I mean, if there was any character from the prequels that they were going to so quickly retcon their very clear death, I'm glad it was him because they did a fantastic job.
Agreed. And, you know, other Jedi or other Sith through the history, like very old, have been able to keep themselves alive through pure hate. It is one of the tricks. Like, they're not like living the best life, but like they can literally survive. Like, just like Yaddle can survive in a hole for 800 years. Sith can sustain themselves on hate and keep them like their bodies alive. At least
like my ex-wife.
Well, I guess there's not seasons, right? This is just a one-off.
Who knows? I heard there's going to be a second season, but who knows? Okay.
Then we'll keep with the normal cadence. Steve, any other final thoughts before we?
No, let's kick it.
All right, cool.
Kick the tires.
Love it. Season one. God damn it. Sorry, ignore that. Future Matt, edit that part out.
You just gotta time it better, okay? You gotta know when to put in the right effort and when to let go, okay?
Do you want to do the tag and take us through the episode, Mickey?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Do you want to do the send off?
No. I got some old Bill Cosby loots to do. I got shit.
Season one, episode one of Matt Maul, Shadow Lord, chapter one.
Matt Maul.
The Dark Revenge.
So that's his first name.
Huh. Interesting ending. Sean, what are your thoughts?
I'm hyped.
I mean, yeah.
So I mean, I got some thoughts about the ending and kind of like I knew some things like as they were kind of producing this about what story they might be adapting, but kind of what story they were inspired by, I guess.
Okay, lay it on me. I actually didn't read this.
So before George Lucas sold Lucasfilm to Disney in 2012, mm-hmm. He had written a treatment for his sequel trilogy, and the big bad was going to be Maul.
So he was always going to come back, no matter what.
He was always going to come back, and it was going to be about him kind of filling in the power vacuum after the Empire was destroyed.
But this is during the Empire, right? Like, this is...
Right, but he specifically... he recruits and trains a Force-sensitive red Twi'lek named Talon.
Talon, okay.
And, you know, I think that obviously that's where this is going. I mean, he basically was like, yeah, like they're here. Like he knows like who he was like looking for beyond his own like criminal empire revenge purposes. Like he wants more power. So the best way to do that is to get someone else who's powerful in the Force. So he can carry out his, you know, revenge. And I think that's where this is heading. And if that's so, then one, I'm glad that the story is in some way getting adapted. In another way, like I think it's a fun idea, and you know, the idea of like multiple like dark side users other than Vader, other than the Emperor at this time is pretty fun. And certainly really what cool. kind of chaos they can sow against Vader and the Emperor and against everybody else whoever crosses them is pretty fun. So yeah, I'm into it.
I concur. Is he like around the Force sensitive users, or is there just a?
Well, I don't know the intricacies of it or how they're going to necessarily portray it. But I mean, if you think about Rebels, like he was really working hard on Ezra, and I think he's just kind of has a good idea of, you know, who's out there and who could serve him and how. And I think that's probably part of it. I don't know how he's doing it necessarily in terms of actually figuring out who he needs or why he really picks certain individuals over others. I'm not sure, but you know, clearly there's some sort of plan that's already been formulated that he's, you know, starting to execute.
Fair enough. Interesting. All right. Steve, what about you? What are your thoughts as someone from the outside?
It's a really good, it's a really, really solid start. I like the whole setup.
Yeah.
With Maul taking his revenge on everyone else. it's got me hooked. I agree with Sean 100%.
I mean, I think it's very interesting that, like, he, you know, like you pointed out before, Sean, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Pretty much everyone has done Maul wrong. It's like, it's funny. And the Shadow Syndicate is kind of his, like, I guess, you know, he took it over at the end of Clone Wars. And he's kind of been underground for a while now. But I really think it's like, who does he go? Like, who's his number one enemy at this point?
Palpatine.
You think it's just Palpatine? You think he's going straight for that?
I don't think he's going straight for that. I think he knows that he has to play a few hands first before he can really, you know, be the rival that, you know, he hopes and aspires that he can one day be. I don't believe that he thinks he's there yet, but I think in terms of finding a powerful apprentice who he can shape, I think, you know, kind of that's how he has to look at it. You know, he knows he can't do it by himself. I mean, Palpatine wiped the floor with him and his brother in Clone Wars and, you know, wasn't even close. It was like Palpatine was like, just like having a good old time when that happened. So I think that he knows that he needs a stronger ally, a stronger apprentice with him. And he probably needs to spend more time developing that person's abilities.
Fair enough. What do we know how many episodes this is going to be?
I think 10.
Okay. So they gave it like a full, I was worried there's like a mini series. We're only gonna get like 6 or something.
I think the second episode's already out too. I think they did a double drop.
She seems Talon. If I'm assuming that's who the Twi'lek was at the end of the episode. She doesn't seem very force sensitive or very like, or, you know, willing, to like, but she knows him. Do you think that's just a name, or is there, like, do you know anything about a relationship between them from what you've
so
read?
Clearly those two are Jedi, you know, the guy that sounds like Dennis Haysbert, and I really hope it is him. And if not, then, okay, fair enough. You've got a great voice, sir. I think obviously those two are Jedi who are in hiding.
Sure.
So they're not actively using the Force. So perhaps we don't really know how powerful they are. And I think that there's like a little bit of development that we get with her that felt kind of significant, which is she steals. And he's like, no. We don't steal. Like, he's still trying to uphold some sort of like Jedi like morality, whereas she's like, look, times have changed. We need to like take care of ourselves. No one's going to miss it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like the kind of, I mean, even that like little bit of a, I don't know if you can say glimmer for the dark side, but like a glimmer like that is something that Maul, I feel like, is particularly sensitive to cluing in on and manipulating.
Fair enough. Yeah, that is very interesting. Yeah. I have a lot to think about. Oh, I mean, obviously it was awesome that they had, you know, the song play when he finally came down that ramp and just fucking obliterated everyone. Did you also notice that one of them was Officer Park? That's got to be intentional. I'm glad I had subtitles on.
And also Lawson.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah. Really awesome. Did they get Park back for the like choreography again?
I don't know.
I know
the dude can still go, like, because I've seen clips of him at like cons and stuff. So,
I he is getting up there though. That's the
yeah.
By the way, I did. It's that one guy from the IT Crowd who's in there too.
Oh, I thought I recognized that voice. Yes,
that was Richard Ayoade.
Yeah.
The Afro guy. Yeah, the black guy from IT Crowd, which is amazing. Yeah, but he's already been in, which is weird because he's already played another robot in the Marvel Universe. But anyway, or Star Wars universe. So he's just getting work all the time. But yeah, even though like the quips, like, or the little like humor spy droid didn't even bother me. It was really well done. Like, I really thought I'd hate that guy, but or hate the little spy droid, but he grew on me as the episode went on. What are you most excited for, Sean?
I'm going to say this with a degree of caution, because I've said this before about Star Wars stuff, and I mean, I said this walking out of The Last Jedi, which, I mean, I really did enjoy The Force Awakens at the time it came out, and then, like, the more I sat with it, I was like, okay, like, you kind of took the easy road, but let's see. And then I walked out of Last Jedi going, like, I have no idea how this is going to close, and that was exciting.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think I've seen The Rise of Skywalker all the way through once, and that was opening weekend in 2019.
Sure.
And I'm not going to sit here and hate it. If you like it, cool. Like you were saying earlier, you know, I'm going to find something I can enjoy out of all of it, but it just wasn't what I kind of wanted or hoped for, and certainly felt chaotic in terms of how it was written and directed and organized, but whatever. But I say this with a degree of caution. I don't know where this is going. Obviously, we know where Maul ends. I don't even really know what year it is or how, like, we are in the timeline between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Yeah.
Or Revenge of the Sith and the Twin Suns episode of Rebels where Maul meets his end. But, you know, I think we got a good bit of time. And so I really don't know how we go from Maul is at this point to Maul's, you know, at his end. So I'm just excited to see how it unfolds. And I trust the people involved to do a good job executing it. So it's just kind of see how it goes, I guess.
Fair enough. Steve, what about you? What are you most excited for?
I'm really curious to see where his revenge scheme is going to go.
I'm
curious to see how it all play out.
I concur. Very good. Very good. I mean, we can do voting, but I don't think, you know, it's really necessary. Sean, binge worthy, why or why not?
That was binge worthy from the moment they announced it for me. I mean, you know,
tell me something you like about it. You know, we gotta be a little bit unbiased.
I'll pick something totally different since I've already covered everything else I like about it.
Fair.
There are new characters. I don't know how long they're gonna stay around.
Sure.
Who I care about and I'm interested in. I don't know what their journeys are going to be.
Yeah.
And so that's fun. So again, kind of with Star Wars, one of its greatest strengths is its world building.
Yep.
And I'm interested in where this goes. So yeah, I like having other people to root for other than just like rooting for the anti-hero villain, whatever you would call them all, protagonist.
Yeah. Is anti-hero, but like, you know, I mean, he has done some terrible things, and this episode's no different, but he is always, like, especially the way they framed him, he's always had this, like, empathy. Like, you feel sorry for him in a way.
Yeah.
Like, he's always gotten what he deserves, and, like, you know, even his ending was perfect, you know, in Rebels. Because that's like, the final point, right? So that's canon. Like, he's not living past that one.
Unless, I mean, yeah. Obi-Wan got him with the chest slice.
Yep.
I don't think we've seen somebody survive a lightsaber swiping down somebody's chest. We've clearly seen people inexplicably surviving a lightsaber multiple times through the torso.
Yeah.
Sabine and Reva. And rest in peace, Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I think he's done.
Yeah.
I feel like Obi-Wan, not that he would have done anything dirty, but honestly, he's kind of been, no pun intended, burned before by leaving something to the Force. So I feel like he would have made sure that Maul was dead, like dead before he put him in the ground.
Yeah. And he had a final last moment, which was like really, like, he was like, do you know, is he truly the one? He's like, yeah.
It's the closest thing to redemption Maul's going to get.
Yes. 100%. Absolutely. Steve, same question. Binge worthy, why or why not?
Yeah, binge worthy. I think it'll be really. I just have a high confidence that's going to be really interesting, different. It's definitely a kid and adult show.
Yeah. That actually segues pretty perfectly into what I was saying. Yes, obviously. But the thing that I loved about it so much, and I can remember the exact moment we were doing, it was the car chase, right near the beginning. And I almost like forgot I was watching a cartoon, and I really felt like I was like Star Wars. Like no preamble, no like, you know, or whatever, no like episode before it. No, it just felt like I was watching Star Wars.
You just got dropped in the world and exactly you knew where you were. Yeah.
And that was something I haven't felt in this, you know, with the shows or the movies in a long time. So that immediately got me hooked, and I hope that feeling continues. So much more to come. We will talk about at least the first two episodes, probably the third, right? Because that's on Monday. So next week we'll have at least a little bit more to go on, and we'll talk about that at the beginning of the episode. I think that wraps it up pretty nicely with a bow. Anybody got any final thoughts on Maul, on anything?
I would have really loved to have like been there to witness George Lucas hearing Duel of the Fates for the first time without even knowing what it would turn into.
Yeah,
because like I know John Williams has all like a bajillion different scores and compositions he's made over a very long career that mm-hmm. all deserve some sort of merit, but like that to me is like he went and he was like a masterful guitar player on acoustic. And he not only did he transition, but he invented the electric guitar somehow. Like that's what that feels like to me. And like, the little hint we got of it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And I think you got to think of like, what's behind Duel of the Fates, right? Like it's the first Star Wars thing John Williams has written in 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's so much riding on that. And I think, you know, he pulled out all the stops and it shows, you know, I don't know how much creative input, or how much John Williams knows when he writes the score, but he nailed everything perfectly. You know, I know Duel of the Fates is literally named after like Qui-Gon versus like literally dueling for the fate of Anakin Skywalker, but
well, if it's Anakin, it's the fate of the galaxy.
I don't know. It's just John Williams knows what he's doing, man. I don't know what we're gonna do after him. Like, anyway.
Working on it. Don't worry.
Well, Mickey, I'm glad. Like, you know, you got a good one here. I'm glad you finally righted the Star Wars ship because it's been rough sailing recently.
So, yeah.
Kudos to you.
And Kathleen Kennedy is busy in my basement. She's got plenty of toes in her mouth, and I got some more to pop off for. We're not going to have to deal with that crap ever again.
I like it. You know, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Mickey. Thank you for finally bringing us back. Why didn't it not play? Here we go. I'll get the timing right eventually. Have a good night, everybody. Damn, I've only been doing this for so long and I still can't get this soundboard working correctly. That was awesome. I do have to wrap things up rather quickly. I apologize. Sorry that I was a little distracted there right at the beginning of this segment, but I got email that I was like, hey, I have to take care of this stuff. So apologies. Anyone else have anything they want to discuss here at the end of the show before we go, you know, before Sean goes watch more Star Wars? And
we got 2 more hours of the pit left.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where are we going?
I am actually genuinely, I have no idea. And mm-hmm. you're saying before, and you know, about Maul, you have no idea where it's going. I don't know. Robbie is finally coming. Like you know, it's been subtle, like, oh, hey, what if I'm not coming back? What if, like, this kind of felt like, this was the first time I was actually like, oh, this might be like, this feels like suicide, you know? Like, I was never getting there, but like, I was holding out hope. It was just like him going on this vision quest and like deciding to stay. But like, there's something wrong. Robbie's been like a dick, and it's only getting worse. And it's just not his character. I know a lot of people online were already upset with how, you know, angry he's been and how like short he's been with people when he was like the anchor of season one. Let's start. You brought it up, Sean. So I'll go to Steve first. Mm-hmm. Theories. What do you think is going to happen in these last 2 hours?
You know, I thought they were going to do something big with the water park.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to lead to something else, but I'm kind of between things. Him snapping at the other doctor. Something's building up, and I don't know if they're going to like try and go like back to full circle where we were with season one, with him starting out in the first episode on top of the hospital.
Yeah.
Trying to talk his friend down and then deal with everything else. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I start to get an idea of where they're going with it, and then it just changes completely.
Yeah.
It just feels different, way different than season one.
I know. And I do love it. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. It does feel darker. It feels, and getting that tone and like understanding, like, it's so brilliant how well it's put together that you feel that change in tone, but the show feels the same. Like, that's so hard to do, where you know something's changing. You feel this like gut thing that's like, this isn't right. I love the show. Everything is perfect about the show, but something isn't right, and not in a bad way. It's insane how they pulled it off, and I have no freaking clue. Like, we know they're getting a season three. We know that Noah Wiley is back for season three. Like, but that's all we know. We don't know how much time is going to go by. We don't know anything else. Something big's got to happen in the next 2 hours to like make sure he doesn't die. No, or something. Sean, what are your thoughts?
I don't think he's going to die necessarily. I think that, and I don't want to take credit for this. There's probably some brilliant TV person on TikTok that I saw talking about this, and a lot of doctors talking about it. I think the thing with Robbie's arc this season is, when you look at how season one ended up, he lost, I'm forgetting the kid's name now. Who was the kid who was basically like his stepson?
Oh,
whose girlfriend got killed at Pit Fest.
God, I forget his name.
So that was like his surrogate son for him. That was like a stepson for him. He had a very paternal relationship with him.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not around. Certainly he went through his own journey. He lost his girlfriend. All this tragic, horrific stuff. This trauma happened to him. But that takes something away from Robbie. And then when you look at how tight he was with Langdon before the truth of Langdon's addiction and what he was doing with, you know, stealing drugs and stuff at the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, that's another surrogate, you know, son or maybe brother figure that he lost. And I think he's feeling the way I'm kind of connecting the dots is, over the 10 months between the two seasons, he's just been, feels like he's like losing grip of who he is. Yeah. Whether it's his personal relationships, his relationships at work. And I think he has, not that he feels like Alashimi could replace him, but I do think there is a fear in his mind that, like, one, it's not going to function right without him there, which is like, for people with a certain kind of like anxiety, high functioning anxiety, like the need for control.
Yeah.
Is like such a big manifestation of that. And for me, it's like, no, you can't control your own anxiety because you feel like you need to do everything here. You need to have your hand in every patient. Like, it's, you know, but you can't let go. But like Dana tells him, like, this place has worked before you. It'll work after you. It works when you go home for the night. Like, we'll be here. And he just can't let go of that, because I think that for him, that feels like the last bit of control that maybe he has.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, he's not confronted that. And that's a gonna be huge for him. I don't think he's gonna, I mean, I think it would be insane for them to kill him off.
I agree, I don't think, but like it does seem like up until this moment that seems like where we're going, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, obviously I'm glad they didn't do like a retread of this I'm glad they didn't turn the water park thing into Pit Fest Part 2.
Yes, I'm very glad. Yeah. Agreed.
And I'm glad they're giving us more character-driven, character-specific storytelling, as opposed to, like, we've already done a bunch of that, but here's this really terrible calamity that happens and everybody has to deal with it. I like that it feels more personal. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested to see where the dynamic between Santos and Langdon ends up.
Yeah.
Not that I think she's going to show growth, but...
Like, I keep trying to come around to her. Like, I was trying to get sympathy because I know she's in a really dark place and literally cutting herself. But by the end, when she shot the light, I was like, fuck you, Santos. Like, Langdon is legitimately trying, and you're hung up on some nonsense shit. Like, does anyone, like, I haven't read anywhere, but does anyone think she has any justification? I guess she covered this up, but she could have said something. She chose not to, and now she's pissed.
Well, okay, but like, looking at this from the perspective of a sometimes employment lawyer.
Okay, fair.
I don't feel like that's a cover up on her part. There's nothing to blow the whistle on. She told Robbie.
Oh,
Langdon,
yeah.
Langdon got pulled from working. He got put in a program, like, and he's been sticking to the program. And yeah, like, that's the thing. I see a lot of people talking about the whole thing with Langdon. They're like, Langdon should have never been allowed back in. It's like, do you understand like the rates of addiction among healthcare workers and often why that's driven by the fact that they're in an environment that has access to drugs? Cause like, hello. Mm-hmm. And it's high stress and it's like, you know, that's all that.
The
and,
highest, like this is the if, most if, burnout, like the, if we, the epitome of, you know.
Yeah. And if we took what healthcare workers who struggle with addiction, who are fighting addiction, who are working to, you know, live a healthy, sober, responsible life, if we took them out of medicine, we'd be totally fucked because like it's a numbers game, as we've learned, and you don't have the numbers if you are already saying like, look, like I disavow all these people because they committed this apparently grievous sin. But her thing to me, it's like, why are you so high and mighty? Like, it sounds like you're just trying to compensate for the fact that you haven't like excelled or succeeded in the way that you thought you would now that Langdon was gone and all this other stuff. And now you've got no one to blame but yourself. But of course, you can't do that because you can't focus on yourself because then you become the villain in your own story. And as I know, we can't have that. So you find the villain and hey, just Langdon just walked back in the door. So I guess I can now do this. But it was never anyone else's business. I mean, she did her job as an employee. She told her boss. Her boss, by all accounts, took care of it. So, I don't know.
Like, every time I try, it's like, fuck Santos. Steve, anything to add?
No, yeah, really put that. I'm curious to see how things are going to go with Santos, but it was a good way to kind of frame her. And, like, I don't know. Not that she was... If I had to put it one way, I think she'll find it pretty cold up there on the moral high ground than in sheets at night.
Well, you know, let's actually add this. I'm very curious because, like, after the first season, like, it was very clear everyone just hated her, right?
Yeah.
Except for Whitaker. I think Whitaker saw something with her, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So do you think the writers gave her the, you know, cutting angle to make her more relatable, more likable? Like, cause she was like, just like, I mean, it's a credit to her as an actress. She's great. And in real life, she seems to be like the super coolest person. And like, you know, it's very funny to see her like laughing with Langdon in interviews and then like, you know, that juxtaposition, especially cause the show's so realistic. But do you think like they just tried to make her more likable? Cause they seemed like failed halfway through. Like they gave her this like thing and then just was like, no, fuck you. Just out of curiosity.
I think the thing that Garcia like said to her, like fairly earlier, like earlier on in the season when she's like, you need to like drop this stuff with Langdon. Like also like, here's what I'm around for. Like Garcia basically just setting like, this is what the relationship is to me. And if that's not for you, that's totally fine. But I'm not gonna bend to whatever you're wanting me to bend to, so go deal with it. But like the stuff that she said about Langdon, I mean, I think that's like the right way to think about it in that environment. And she's like, you know, you're stuck in blaming him and wanting him to be held accountable when kind of already has been. And like, what are you gonna do? Like, you don't have another excuse for your failure. Or what your perceived failures or shortcomings. I don't know. I don't know where she's going to end up. I don't want them to kill her off or anything like that. Like, I think it's already, there's been too many like things where there's like, you know, obviously Emma, you know, getting choked by that coked out drunk guy waking up and like all the other shit that's happened. I feel like violence against like these people, I hope it's not that, right? Like, I, you know. Yeah. Oh, that actually reminded me of one more thing, and I'm good on the pit for now. But guy, I forget his name, the unhoused guy that Emma took care of, and she and Dana cut his hair, and Emma shaved him.
Yeah. Digby, right?
Do you know who
Mr. Digby?
Digby. Do you know who that is?
Who?
You're gonna flip. It's fucking Skinny Pete.
Holy shit, you're right, it is Skinny Pete.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I know this guy, and it's not just because he looks like a really, really strung out Iggy Pop. Like,
oh my god, that's fucking, that blew my mind.
It's Skinny Pete.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so fucking cool. I love it.
I love that little, like, you know, side story there where he's like, it's like, how long have you been a nurse? And she's like, this is my first day. He's like, you're doing a really good job. It's like, okay, well, you got me. You got me. Thanks. Thanks, Skinny Pete.
Oh my god. All right. That about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you so much, guys. As always, this was a banger. From start to finish, we had so many good discussions. I will see you back here next week for more of the same.
Have fun with your mom's taxes.
Yay!